Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers, Issue 19. Transformers artist Casey Collar gives away free digital line art to Collar, and we have a bunch of updates on the new Transformers 84 comic book series. Today is Friday, March 27th, 2020, and this is episode 174 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that has added another doctor to our show to keep everyone healthy. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how you doing? Let's talk Transformers.
All right. And as we mentioned already, and you might have heard him on the toy show this week, please welcome our guest, Dr. Pants.
The doctor is in, and I'm ready to check some pants. It's not actually what I do. Don't worry.
Creepy.
Yeah, it sounded better in my head, and then I said it. And
you should have stopped at the doctor's.
Yeah, sorry, I took it too far. And this was the last time they ever heard him.
Well, you can check out more of Dr. Pants' unique brand of humor at nerdstradamus.com, YouTube channel, and a podcast. So check those out. And Dr. Pants is a Donatrion, so we thank him directly, and we thank all of our Donatrions for continuing to support the show. And if you have not joined those ranks already, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can sign up on Patreon or PayPal to help us out, help us keep the show going, help keep the lights on, help us pay hosting fees, you know, get equipment, all that good stuff that helps us deliver a quality podcast. You can also go to get some merchandise from our TeePublic store, and that's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. That also helps us show out. We've got some great new t-shirt designs up there. Just recently released the Transformers logo, or Transmissions logo, using the Armada Transformers logo. And our good guy and bad guy symbol shirts as well. You can also check out friend of the show K-Girl at her TeePublic store, teepublic.com/user/superstarK. And she's got lots of cool art and designs on her store as well. So before we jump into all the comics news this week, just want to mention we have Empire of Rust episode 20 coming this Monday, March 30th. So just a couple of days from now. And episode 20 is Throbbing with Anticipation. So if you have ever seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, you might get that reference. And also this Monday, released concurrently, but this is exclusive to Donatrions, the conclusion to our Empire of Rust side story, A Hell by Any Other Name, part 3, will be out this Monday. But that's only to our Donatrion, so only be available on our Patreon feed. So that's exclusive. And that features Jeremy and I as new characters in the Empire of Rust universe. So lots of good stuff coming your way in just a couple of days as you're listening to this. But now we're here to talk comics and media, so let's start off with a bunch of comics news. All right, first up, Casey Collar is a great artist, and he's a generous artist, and he put up a bunch of black and white examples of his Transformers art on social media, and encouraged everyone to download them and use them for coloring pages. So this is very cool, a way to combat some of the boredom and keep us from going stir crazy as we're all sheltering at home. So lots of cool images to color. And I noticed on our Discord, someone had put some examples up of their takes on these pictures as well. So you can color them digitally or with, you know, good old fashioned crayons or markers, whatever, print them out and color them in. So lots of cool art, lots of different characters. We've got RC, Chromia, Bumblebee, Blaster, Cosmos, Megatron, Optimus Prime, Soundwave, Hot Rod, Grimlock.
I'm sad that there's no Grimlock in T-Rex mode. Because I'm going to print some of these out for my kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids and dinosaurs.
But, yeah, this is just very cool. I mean, Casey Collar is one of my favorite artists, so it's very nice to see these images here. And it's a really cool idea that he had to make these available as coloring pages. So check them out. Next, we've got artist Anna Malkova putting out a link that shows the process of her her art for the interiors for Transformers number 19. She did all the art for this issue, and we're going to review this in just a bit. So you can check out some of her art process for page one of this story here. Next, we've got the second part of the cover from the exclusive cover from Eastside Comics. So this is for Transformers 84 Secrets and Lies, issue number one. This is the art is by John Jiang. And this one
Jiang, probably.
Jiang, okay. The art is by John Jiang. And this is a Megatron to companion go with the Optimus Prime that we saw last week. These are not very G1-ish, I would say, but maybe more closer to the Transformers Prime or live action movie style, but, you know, with G1 aesthetic, but very interesting. But this is these are exclusive retailer exclusives from Eastside Comics, and these are now on sale. You can pre-order them as of last week. So I don't know, by the time this episode goes up, they might be sold out. I don't know, but there's the Optimus Prime and Megatron, and you can buy them as a two-pack for $40. That's just 500 issues for that. And then if you just buy the Optimus Prime by itself, there's 1,000 for that. That's $15 by itself. So you can check those out. And if they're still available and you're interested, you can pick them up. Next, we've got a preview of the Transformers versus the Terminator issue one. This comes from Sci-Fi Wire. Of course, by the time you hear this episode, the issue is already out. I don't know if you're able to get your hands on that issue. If you are able to get to your local comic book shop, I guess you can probably get it digitally. But yeah, so you get a little bit of, in the Sci-Fi Wire article, you get a little bit of John Barber and David Marriott discussing their process in developing the story for Transformers versus the Terminator. And it's very cool. So if you do get a chance to pick it up, I definitely recommend this issue. This first issue was very exciting, very cool. Of course, the art by Alex Milne is excellent. And I think the concept is just really cool. This is something that, you know, it's in hindsight, it looks like a natural fit, but it's surprising that it took this long to get these two properties together. And it's a very cool idea. So check that out. Next, we've got a massive Transformers IDW Comics sale at Comixology. Lots of things, 50% or more off. Over 700 digital Transformers comics. This sale will continue until April 6th. So you've got a little bit of time, but there's lots of different comics you can pick up. Basically all the classic IDW comics from the last, you know, 15 years, starting in 2005, the previous continuity, the new continuity, lots of all the collections, everything is on sale. So if you are curious about the IDW Comics universe, this might be the time to take a look. Of course, you could also wait for the next Humble Bundle. I don't know. I mean, they do those. They seem to do those every year or so. But, you know, nothing's guaranteed. So, But I am a big fan of the Humble Bundles as well, because you can get a lot of Transformers comics for not a lot of money digitally. And DRM free, of course. But yeah, this
of course, Comixology stuff is, you can get a DRM free backup of each thing you buy.
Yes, that is true. And these are good prices too for these comics. So
I think I saw the hardcover collections were like a little over $10.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really tempting. That's really, really tempting.
So yeah, so I definitely recommend, if you have not gotten into the IDW universe, I recommend jumping in. And the last bit of comics news is we got the solicitations for Transformers comics for June of 2020. So these are all the comics coming in June. Transformers 84 Legends and Rumors. So this is a collected comic. It's a 100-page issue. This is reprinting Transformers number 1, Marvel Transformers number 1, Marvel UK Transformers 9 to 12, which is the Man of Iron story, and Transformers 84 number 0, which came out last year. So all the comics you need to get caught up for the Transformers 84 Secrets and Lies miniseries that is starting next month. So you know, if it's a nice little collection, if you are curious as to the origins of the Marvel Transformers comics, both in the US and the UK.
I'm wondering if they would, if the order of those, if they would put the 84 book first, because it's essentially a prequel for the others.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but I guess you need the other books to get the context of Transformers 84 number 0.
Yeah, and the art would be so jarring.
Yeah. Also releasing in June, Transformers number 22, Transformers Galaxies number 10, which is going to start the Ultra Magnus story arc in Transformers Galaxies. Transformers 84 Secrets and Lies number 3. So that miniseries starts in April and will continue through July. I think it's 4 issues. And then Transformers versus Terminator number 4 will be out in June as well. So lots of good things to look forward to. I guess I should there's no Transformers comic coming out for Free Comic Book Day, but I guess I should mention that Free Comic Book Day has been postponed due to the concerns over the coronavirus pandemic. So they didn't give a date for when they were going to reschedule Free Comic Book Day yet, did they?
They haven't yet.
Yeah, so that's sad. Which, unfortunate, but understandable given the situation.
Well, I mean, Marvel normally times one of their movie releases to be around Free Comic Book Day, and that was postponed. So
yeah,
you know, look for when Black Widow eventually comes out and see if they reschedule it for that weekend.
Hmm. All right, and that's all the comics news. So let's move on to our comic review.
All right, in our comic review this week, we are looking at Transformers number 19. This is written by Brian Ruckley. Art is by Anna Malkova. Colors by Joanna LaFuente. Letters and design by Jake M. Wood. Editors David Mariette and Tom Waltz. And the assistant editor is Riley Farmer. There are 4 covers this week. Cover A has Bumblebee in the Crosshairs of a Sniper by Thomas Steer. Cover B has Chromia Ready for Action, and that is by Priscilla Tramontano. A retailer incentive shows Alita 1 is trapped and Bumblebee is escaping as Megatron looms large. And this is by Freddie E. Williams and Jeremy Caldwell. And then there's a convention exclusive cover for what convention? Who knows? Megatron is sitting on a throne with the head of Orion Pax in his hand and Bumblebee's head under his foot. And I'm not sure who the artist is for this one. I could make out Jet on there, but I'm not sure exactly what their full name is, and there was no credit given in the book. Anyway, we'll start, Dr. Pants, with you. Which one of these is your favorite?
I really like cover B. It looks cartoony. It looks fun, and I like all the stuff that's going on in the background with Soundwave, Bumblebee, and Rat Bat looming over in the corner. But Chromia up front with that kind of like smug look, spinning the gun. I really, really like that. That's really, really cool.
And it has a lot to do with the story, like everything in there.
Yes.
Charles, how about you?
I am going to pick the Thomas Deere cover. I like the bumblebee and the crosshairs image, and that also focuses on the main plot in this issue. I just think it's a really well rendered bumblebee profile close up by Thomas Deere. So,
Daryl, how about you?
Well, I don't know what Charles is talking about. There's no crosshairs on this cover at all. I mean, I don't even think we've seen crosshairs in this series yet.
Hilarious, Daryl. Hilarious.
Actually, crosshairs is in one scene in one of the issues, but it's just his back. I'm sorry.
Shut up, Dr. Pants.
I was really happy to see crosshairs was in the issue. I'm like, oh, crosshairs, yay. I don't remember what issue it is, so.
I'm actually going to agree with Charles, though. I do like cover A, Tom Deere's cover. I like how outside of the aforementioned crosshairs, everything's red, and it does actually, it's not like it's blocked out. It just affects the coloring. So his coloring has changed for the image outside of the crosshairs. Seems like Bumblebee has noticed, and he's paying attention to who's pointing at him. I also like all the little greebles that are coming with the crosshairs, like the distance, the target acquired. I there's got to be a reason for the number. I don't know what it is. The distance number 6633.01. There's no measurement. Yeah. Given.
I know that when we talked about the he posted his kind of process with this image last week, the number was different. So I'm not sure. Okay. There might be a reason for this number, but that obviously changed between his idea and the finished product.
Well, I'm curious as to find out what the number means, because there's no measurement kind of designation given. So is it kilometers? I doubt it's some kind of Cybertronian click, right? So that's the cover I'm picking.
I think I'm going to go with that one as well. It's just, it's a good image. I'm a fan of Tom Deere's art, and I don't know, it's just kind of intense, and I like it. All right, let's get into the story. This is titled Rise of the Decepticons All Fall Down, and it's the first part of the Rise of the Decepticons arc. It begins with Wimblade is finally out and cleared for duty, and she stops by Ratchet to say thanks, but she's surprised by the busy Medivh. He explains that things have gotten a bit rough since she was hurt, and she sees for herself when she flies over the wreckage caused by the tether crashing into the city. In the distance, Megatron is looking over the wreckage himself, and seeing that his play has been made and there's only one way to go to get through this successfully, he's got to win. He orders Jaxxus to go to Tarn and ready his people. That is Tarn the city, not Tarn the character. Ratbat is to gather his infiltration specialists, and since Soundwave has already been outed, he's to remain under the protection of the guard. Additionally, Elita 1 is to be removed and restricted to her quarters, and Bumblebee is to be removed entirely. As Soundwave is showing the new troops to Skytread, the new head of the guard, Elita 1 walks in surprised. Soundwave immediately strips her of her command and has the Rainmakers take her to her quarters. Later, Skytread is taking Bumblebee on a mission to try and help survivors because they are all altruistic, and that's what they do. Bumblebee is contacting Chromie on his comms as he begins to search a building by himself, and he's concerned because he wasn't able to contact Elita 1, and he suspects that he's in trouble. Finding a dead body, he begins to break down under all the pressure, and then he is suddenly attacked. Overlooking Iacon, Sentinel Prime and Orion Pax are watching a Voyne Assertor walking through the street. Orion assures him that Nautica is doing her best with the Voyne, but they've also lost Vigilum's location. Lodestar is still alive, barely, but they've also lost contact with all the other Titans, and they're evacuating the moon. There's no good news for Sentinel. He orders an Energon ration cut immediately and wants Soundwave drug into his presence. Orion tries to stress how overtaxed they are. Stryka can no longer be counted on since she's an Decepticon. Ultra Magnus isn't there. And Pyro Magna is imprisoned. There's no great generals left. Sentinel yells at Orion that he's the one that bears the Matrix, and when he passes it on, it's going to be to Magnus, not Orion. Pyro will remain in prison, and the Ascenticons are traitors. He will tell that truth to the people. Inside the building, Bumblebee is in a fight as Catgut bites into him. He tries to transform and escape, but is shot down by Treadshot, who joins the fight. Bumblebee puts up a good effort, but finally he gets blasted through the wall that he had entered originally. Just as Treadshot and Catgut approach to finish him off, Chromia shows up, and they make a hasty retreat. She calls in Prowl to help find the two risers, and then she goes to help Bumblebee. She tells him that his days with the Ascenticons are probably over, and he agrees. At the Rise HQ, Shockwave is picking up a new hand detachment when Sixshot comes in. Sixshot's mad that he's not getting to command his troops. Some have been sent to Megatron, and then Mindwipe commandeered Stormcloud and Visper. Shockwave doesn't know what Sixshot's talking about, and he finds out that they've gone to Icon. He rips himself from the cables that he was connected with. To be continued. Not a lot of action. I mean, the Bumblebee fight was kind of, I think, maybe two pages, maybe three. But a lot of developments happened in this book. I enjoyed it, not maybe as much as the last couple issues, but this, I mean, things are happening. Pieces are moving. And being the first issue of a new arc, you're not going to expect a ton of action. But I like where this is going still. And I don't know. I feel like Brian Ruckley's kind of gotten his groove. The pacing was a little bit better. I mean, I do wish that the Bumblebee fight wasn't like cut in the middle with a scene. But, you know, it's just comics these days. I will say that Animal Cova's art, I thought, was pretty good all around. I didn't really have any major issues with the art. And, you know, Joanna's colors, as always, you know, really good. I was interested that they introduced the Rainmakers by name. That was surprising. I don't know if we've ever had them called out as the Rainmakers before. I thought that was kind of a fan term. That was really interesting. And then the bit about the Matrix, that was... It's like the Matrix didn't choose Sentinel. It was passed down from Nominus Prime. So lots of interesting lore stuff they're adding here. Charles, what were your opinions on the book?
I pretty much agree with what you're saying, Jeremy. This was a nice, kind of setup with, peeling back some of the layers of the deeper lore that they're introducing here. So yeah, like you mentioned, the bit with Sentinel Prime and Orion Pax. I'm the one thing I do want to, like, we're, this is issue what, 19, and we're, yeah, this Rise of the Decepticons arc, I hope this means that by the end of this arc we will have official honest to God Decepticons, because I am getting it's a little bit frustrating to see all these bots that I know who they are, but none of them are calling themselves Autobots and Decepticons. Like, even on the Autobot side, the only, like, actual people wearing the badge, or like, I haven't even seen Sentinel Prime wearing an Autobot badge. Only Orion Pax has an Autobot symbol on. No one else wears an Autobot symbol. So, you know, yeah. They say the Autobots are like the biggest political faction currently on Cybertron, but no one actually claims to be an Autobot. So that seems a little weird, but and the Ascenticons are, they're pretty much Decepticons at this point. They don't call themselves Decepticons, but they're Decepticons. It was interesting to see also the little bit of with Catgut and Treadshot, how those are Action Master toys, and the little throwaway dialogue about how they were stranded with only Nucleon for energy, so they were mode locked. So that was a nice little bit of lore. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know they were Action Masters.
Yeah.
That makes way more sense now. Thank you.
I like the whole Bumblebee fight was pretty well staged. I liked the whole how that was choreographed. Anna Melkova's art I really think is really well done. I mean, it's I think it's a little bit more on the like the cartoony side, but I like that. I think it's it's expressive and very dynamic, and Joanna LaFuente's colors really make it pop as usual. We got a lot of very colorful characters throughout this issue, so lots of showing off lots of different bots here, which is always nice.
I will say it was nice not switching artists.
Yeah.
Between different scenes.
Yep. And, also getting a nice little assortment of characters in the security forces with, Sure Shot, who's an Autobot target master that you don't really see in a lot of media. I had Sure Shot as a toy when I was a kid, so I immediately recognized him. I was like, wow, hey, Sure Shot, nice to see you there. Blades, one of the Protectobots is there, and Blades having a rivalry with Windblade, I thought was funny. You know, singular versus plural. I thought that was a nice joke. Yeah. So overall, it's very much an intro arc setup. I did think the ending was a little bit abrupt. You don't really get a lot of setup for what Shockwave is upset that Mind Wipe is doing something bad. But you also get the little foreshadowing with Shockwave picking another attachment for his what will be his gun arm. So I thought that was nice. But I think it's getting into a groove. I still feel like the issues need to have a more self-contained story structure for each issue, but the five issue arcs are having a little bit more action going on, so that's good.
All right, Dr. Pants, we'll come to you. What were your thoughts? Are you up on the comics? I mean,
I am now. I was as of Friday night, I was on issue 12, and the past 2 days I spent getting myself caught up to issue 19. So I read through about 7-8 issues in a sitting.
How was that with it just all in one chunk?
I got to say, you can definitely tell doing that. These are really, really written for the trade because everything just starts to blend together and the stories run together really, really well. And it makes for a better read. I didn't read them, not because I didn't want to, but just because I'm a procrastinator. But it worked out in this way. I liked issue 19 a lot, and I've been liking the series a lot as a whole. I like all the setup. I like all the intrigue that's going on and all these little plot pieces that are starting to fit together. One thing I really want to say about this issue, I love Anna Malkova's artwork, especially when it's the expressions on the faces. The one shot of Soundwave where Megatron's like saying, no, you have to like stay here. Like, she drew the visor almost wider and we're getting like a little bit of expression from Soundwave, which you never get. And I really like that. And also, the parts where Bumblebee's kind of talking about Rubble being dead and just kind of like not dealing with it really well. I really, really like that. I think they're doing a good job at showing how that's impacting him. And I want to see how that goes forward. Other than that, I'm just really interested to see where this is all going. Cause it all feels like it's coming to a head. It might be a little bit slow, but the setup for everything is great. And I want to see what Mind Wipe's doing. That's got Shockwave mad. Cause obviously Shockwave's got some kind of plan. He's always planning something. And I want to see what Mind Wipe's doing. Plus, I want to see Mind Wipe in the comic. I love seeing all these, as Charles put it, like latter-day Transformers showing up, like Sure Shot. Yeah, just overall, I've been really, really enjoying the series. I like kind of the political intrigue. It doesn't bother me that we haven't been getting a lot of action. I like a lot of the character interaction. And I think the characterizations have been doing a really, really good job. A couple issues back when we got like Springer and Sideswipe together, that was so much fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And like, I want to see more of that stuff, but no, I enjoyed it and I'm going to keep reading, and thank you guys for giving me a reason to get caught up.
All right, Daryl, I can kind of guess where you're going to go. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it started off really slow for me and that's fine. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there to kind of get through. I enjoyed the fight, the Bumblebee fight. I thought it was decently done. And the one moment that I thought was kind of clever and well done was where Charles said it was a throwaway line about Sure Shot and Catgut being mode locked. I enjoyed that. I thought that was fun. And that they, you know, just because they are action masters, I was like, there you go. So,
we need the Captain America meme of, I understood that reference.
That's right. But for me, that was probably the best part of the book. I thought that was a really clever line, but it literally added nothing to the storyline. I still find the book is moving at molasses pace. The fight though was good. I enjoyed it. Bumblebee suffering some damage, you know, because they're trying to take him out. You know, that was exciting. That was a good battle. I thought that the art was okay. I think I've seen better work from Anno, but it was definitely good. It was good. Like at one point, the point in the fight, Bumblebee's running towards the crack in the wall to get away or whatever, the hole in the wall, then gets shot by the cannon in Sure Shot's chest and slams against the wall, but the hole in the wall is gone.
That took me a second to realize exactly what was going on.
Yeah, that's Tread Shot there. So
either it's miscolored or Sure Shot. But so maybe it's miscolored there. You know, the hole in the wall is what's on the right hand side should have been the hole in the wall, but it's miscolored. But either way, it's that's just something that I kind of noticed while I was reading it. I like Chromia carrying like a big gun, and that being kind of noticed. So yeah, no, it was a fine issue. I just I personally would like it to speed up a bit.
I will say probably one of them, I think Dr. Pants referenced that the Bumblebee dealing with or not dealing with rubble. I think that page where like after Chromia rescues him, the bottom part of that page with the three panels is probably some of my favorite panels from the book.
Yeah.
Because the coloring just completely goes a lot kind of darker or less, I'm not sure how to express it, but like less bright color wise. And there could just be like no word bubbles on there and you would still get the whole point that he's like finally got a chance to breathe. And now he's thinking again about the loss.
That panel where he just says he's still dead, that hits me so hard. Oh,
how much time do you think has passed since the tether fell?
Oh, I think the tether fell like within the last day or so.
Reading the book and looking at the images on the page, I would have expected a little bit more excitement on the street kind of deal. Like more characters, more citizens running around like crazy, like, you know, what the hell do we do kind of thing. The tethers in the street, you know, there's just, I would expect some kind of pandemonium because of what has occurred. And it just seems calm. Some kind of
time reference would really be helpful.
The only thing I can think of is they said in a previous issue that Windblade was going to be out for, I want to say like 4 cycles. So I don't know how long she was in there when the tether fell, but it could be a couple of days since that happened just because she's getting out of it then at the beginning. But you're right. A timestamp would be really, really nice.
Yeah, I will say that like in that first couple of panels, you're still seeing things smoking. Hasn't been too long.
And we also have a cameo from a GoBot. A GoBot has become an Ascenticon.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, yes. I did notice that too.
Crasher is one of the new Ascenticons.
Yeah.
Along with Runabout and Runamuck.
I completely missed that.
Yep.
It's introduced. Name I was dropped and everything.
I don't think I put the word. Well, here, I'm there on that page. You don't actually see Crasher as like.
Yeah, you do.
She's on the far left. Yep.
She's right.
Oh, but.
Yeah.
That's a different face than her GoBot face.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, the iconic Crasher face with the lips and everything. Mm-hmm. So, I just didn't put two and two together.
What are the three Rainmakers doing on the panel below? Are they all just kind of putting their hands
together? They're exchanging proton strings. If you have a better way to do it, let us know.
They're
it's their secret community. Secret fan club handshake for the Rainmakers.
Yeah.
Right.
They're making it rain.
The other thing I wanted to mention that I think is kind of funny is Sentinel Prime talking about how he's going to pass it on to Magnus. I mean, we obviously know it's going to go to Orion Pax, and it kind of gives me flashbacks to the 86 movie when, oh, Magnus is supposed to be the next Prime. Nope. Somebody else is going to snatch it up from under his feet.
Yeah. I guess that will wrap up the review. We'll see where it goes. And you know, we haven't even seen Magnus yet, so we don't know what his characterization is going to be like. So
it also feels like Orion Pax is, he's not very, I mean, he's not a warrior. He's not really like it. It's like he's basically a bureaucrat. So yeah. I can see not having confidence to put him in charge.
No. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, we haven't seen him do any action yet.
Yeah.
But he does see identifies all the needs, and mentally he is there. Like, where Megatron is seeing everything that needs to be done, he's like delegating, he's like, you know, taking care of stuff. Orion is seeing, you know, everything that needs to be done on his side. He has no authority to actually make any decisions.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping when it comes down to it and Optimus finally, like, you know, he becomes Prime and he steps forward, that we get a much more gung-ho Prime than we got like towards the end of the last IDW continuity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still relatively young.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is two in a row for comic reviews, so I think we should have one next week, too, so
that'd be great. Yes, so this week, I think, hopefully, everyone got Transformers versus Terminator number 1 and Transformers Galaxies number 6, so two issues with art by Alex Milne, and those should be in shops for everyone, and I think we'll be reviewing one of those next week.
I am so excited about Transformers versus Terminator. Yeah.
It's looking to be a great one. Never thought we'd get all these cool Transformers crossovers, you know, just 5 years ago. So,
still waiting on Justice League.
Maybe with the new leadership at DC, there's another chance, Jeremy.
It's not new. It's just half of the old.
Okay.
All right, well, that's the comic review. Let's move on to media news, right?
Yes.
All right, in media news this week, we've got Transformers Cyberverse. This is season 3, is now available on YouTube. We kind of speculated about this last week because the movie was put out, first two seasons back to back, this is now third season. Episode 1 is on YouTube, and that is only available in the American states.
This is very weird, so, because last week on Cartoon Network they showed 4 episodes in a row. This week they showed 2 more episodes, so they're up to episode 6 on Cartoon Network. But on YouTube, Hasbro put out one 10-minute episode. I don't think they can stretch these out 26 weeks. I think they need to step it up on YouTube if they want people to actually watch it.
I don't know what to tell you. At least you can watch them on YouTube.
You can watch one. Maybe 2 by the time this episode is out.
And also the first 2 seasons.
Oh, that's true.
They do have like a whole playlist if you want, like for when they do show up, you can have it. You can like subscribe to that playlist, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, we've got a Takara Tomy Roboka battle card game collaboration. This is Transformer Cyberverse, Shinka Lion, and Earth Granner. I have never heard of this before, ever. Cool. Okay. So there's a video to go along with this. It's a card game. It's a battle card game that you can play using characters from Cyberverse and those other two.
And you can buy, I mean, this is Japanese only, but they have vending machines where you can buy packs of cards for just 100 yen, which is about $1. So they're actually pretty affordable for kids who want to, you know, cool, collect the cards.
And it looks like it's one of the arcade card games they have over there too, where you just take the cards to an arcade machine and you play on a screen. Cool and weird, and I don't get it.
They have that with the Marvel characters at Dave and Buster's here in the States.
I've never actually been in a Dave and Buster's, so I need to. But that's cool. I'll check it out.
Well, you'll check it out once.
Yeah, you know, things are real. A couple of months.
Eventually.
Yeah.
All right. And in the last part of media news, we've got another Soundtrack Saturdays. And this is another part of the vinyl release from the Hasbro Studios Presents 80s TV Classics, music from Transformers. And this is by Robert J. Walsh and Johnny Douglas, like the previous few that we've talked about. And this is a song entitled Into the Jaws of Death. And it's just another instrumental. This is a part of the, this is a piece of music that you would have heard in the G1 show. If the show went to a very scary planet. Yeah, if you play that, you'll definitely recognize it. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And that'll do it for media news.
All right, and let's move on to transforming pop culture. All right, well, Yoshi's not here with us right now, but he's always with us in spirit. But he's a big fan of Tesla, the Tesla automotive vehicles, you know, all electric cars, and he's taken that, he's combined his love for G1 Transformers and his love for Tesla and gotten some artists to do commissions for that represent Tesla vehicles as Transformers. And this has been picked up by the Tesla community. So the Teslarati website actually published an article on Yoshi's commission. And they linked to our podcast, so thank you, Teslarati, for linking back to us. So, hello, any new listeners and fans of Tesla. But yeah, Yoshi got this commission of the Tesla Cybertruck, and it was named Shatter, which was, I think, originally because the Tesla truck, you know, claimed it had shatterproof glass windows, and then they immediately shattered. But in a coincidence, that's also the name of one of the characters from the Bumblebee movie, one of the Decepticons from the Bumblebee movie. So, yeah.
It is a pretty badass name.
Oh, yeah.
So he never posted this anywhere else. Like, did he just send this to them and just say, here's my most recent one?
Did he put this on Twitter or not?
I had never seen this before.
Hmm. He posted it in our Discord.
Yeah, today.
Well, it was posted onto the Teslarati today.
Yeah. So did you just send it to Teslarati?
Yeah, he's done his previous ones there too. So,
mm-hmm.
It's really cool. I like that. Like that Cybertruck transformation. That's really, really cool.
And the art is
Kind of looks like. Kind of looks like Runabout and Runamuck.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it does. And the art is by Casey Collar, so who we were just talking about earlier in the episode. So,
mm-hmm.
Of course, the art is excellent from Casey. Yeah, so good job, Yoshi, getting taken. We've got another Transformers crossover with Tesla. So
something tells me if there's going to ever be like an actual transforming car, Elon Musk will be behind it.
It'll probably be a Decepticon, though.
Oh yeah, because you know he's not really benevolent. He's, you know. He's going to turn out to be an evil genius.
He created a flamethrower that was just released to the public. That doesn't sound like a good person to me.
All right. Let's finish up the show with convention news.
All right. A couple of things. TFCon was this weekend, or supposed to be this weekend. If you missed it, like this was a kind of put together and then happened before or between shows, but Josh Prez did a couple kind of virtual artist panels on his Twitch stream. Unfortunately, it looks like they weren't archived or anything, but I listened to a good bit of the second one. Daryl, I think you were listening to that too.
The first one I was listening to.
Oh, you were listening to the first one. Okay. I was listening to the second one. I thought it was really cool. Basically, you know, almost every IDW artist, including some of the newer ones like Anna Markova, were there. John Paul Bove was on the one I was watching, and you know, he's a treat as always. But I thought that was really cool. And, you know, since they weren't really limited to the like 45 minute to an hour restriction that most panels have, you know, they got to, you know, really kind of talk for a while and really enjoyed it. So thanks, Josh, for putting that on. I hope they do something like this again and hope that, you know, there's some notice so we can kind of get the word out. Did Charles, Dr. Pants, did either of you get a chance to watch this?
Unfortunately, I did miss it. Was unfortunately, yeah, just slipped my mind and didn't get on at the right time. So
I completely missed it. I actually didn't know it was going on until after it was over. So no, I missed that.
Yeah, so maybe next time, you know, be aware and try to help archive it.
Next time there's a pandemic.
Yeah. But in positive news, assuming the pandemic ends, TFCon has announced they're coming to Chicago October 23rd through 25th at the Crown Plaza Chicago the Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare Hotel and Conference Center in Rosemont, Illinois. So excited to see them come back with within an easy drive for me. Yeah, it's all about me. An interesting choice of logo. I meant to mention the toy show, but I guess it's more appropriate to mention art stuff here. After we recently just did our kind of logo redesign I put together based on the, you know, early 2000s Transformer logo, that's kind of the same thing that they went for with theirs. And, you know, so I love that logo, but I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the guests that they're trying to get. RID 2001 voice cast or Armada voice cast. I guess any of the Unicron trilogy, most of them use some form of that.
Well, the Unicron trilogy did use Gary Chalk and David Kaye as Optimus and Megatron.
Well, so. Yeah, and I mean, they come to many TF cons. That wouldn't surprise me. But who would you like to get from that era?
Gary Chalk and David Kaye. I don't know any of the other voice actors from that era. Maybe who's the Optimus Prime in RID was that? Neil Kaplan, was that?
Neil Kaplan, who was in the recent Voltron Legendary Defender series. Okay. He did good. Pulling up the thing here. Wally Wingert was Sideburn. Let's see who else was kind of a known. Steve Bloom was in there, Darkscream.
So oh, okay.
I could see them trying to get Steve Bloom. Peter Spellos, who was Skywright. And I believe he's moved, like he's kind of in the Midwest area, so he might be someone they can get. Neil Kaplan was, he was also, it was a couple of voices. I could see them getting some of those, but then going for more of the David Kaye. But yeah, I'm seeing like Michael McConaughey was a voice on some.
Matthew McConaughey?
Michael.
No relation.
All right.
So anyway, that I'm looking forward to TFCon Chicago. As of this point, I am planning on being there, since it's just a drive, you know, a few hour drive. So that is it for convention news.
All right, and that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, we want to thank Dr. Pants for joining us this week. And Dr. Pants, please tell us all about Nerdstradamus and what you got going on.
Thank you, Charles. Nerdstradamus is my YouTube channel that I do with a bunch of other friends. We talk about all kinds of gaming and nerdy things. So if you want to check us out, we are Nerdstradamus on YouTube. We have a website, nerdstradamus.com, that has links to our YouTube. We do a monthly podcast. You can find a link to that there. We're on all the major podcasting network. We're also on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. And we're on Instagram. We post pictures of all kinds of things. I'm in charge of the robot stuff like Transformers, and I take over the Instagram with all of that. So feel free to check that out. And by the time this hits, we should have our newest music video out. My co-host Lambo and I did a music video for a cover of The Winner, which is a Japanese rock song. It was a theme song to a Gundam series. But yeah, please check that out. We do all kinds of other music videos.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and hope everyone's staying safe out there. Please continue to follow all the instructions for your local,
either doing social distancing or sheltering in place. We hope everyone's safe and staying safe and able to be entertained and stay active during this difficult time. This is very unprecedented, so we're all figuring it out as we go. So best wishes to everyone out there. So we'll be here every week because since we do this over the internet, we don't have to spread any germs on transmissions. So we'll see you soon, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
As my kid says, on it.